Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie with the T30 Observations update for Sunday, the 18th of October, 2009. You'll see a new chart here, which is the only chart that I'm going to put up for today's commentaries. But I have a lot of commentaries, so we'll talk about it in general terms. In this part A, I'm addressing. I just wanted to do a general summary of what's going on, and answer some questions from people who have stumbled onto my site and want to know about how to get about in T theory. And then we're going to talk about plans for the future. You can see in the PDF file here of the chart that I have added the data down below. I'm going to be able to export that into spreadsheets, and we'll be able to take off with lots of interesting projects. There are a number of people who want to do collaboration work, and these data summaries are going to be placed at the T-Theory Foundation site, and we should be able to do a lot of interesting research, and you're welcome to join in if you want to. So the first thing that I'm getting questions which are unusual is they want to know is how to get started in T-Theory, and then they want to know about where they sign up for the subscription. When I discovered T-Theory in 73 and sort of wrote that up, I did form a company, American Shareholders, in 1974, which did offer subscriptions, and perhaps they probably remember, they're remembering that aspect of the history. And but we went into the management program, which is a fee-based system, in 78. So we basically don't do it. All of my sites, which are up, which are T-Theory Foundation and T-Theory.com, are basically all free. They're educationally based, and so you have to do your own work, but you don't have to send any money. Chart here shows how complicated T-theory has become. You got these bizarre little ABCDs, you know, showing up in the chart where you're getting the time symmetry, which we now interpret as echoes coming from oscillator peaks and bouncing off bottoms and producing multiple highs or single highs. You've got the mystery T peak. You've got the last top, which we're looking for in the general period, the 12th to the 14th of October. Turned out I had previously referred to it as a mid-October peak. It turned out to be about the right way it did come out. And we now have to look forward to where we're going to go. But it's not going to be easy to figure out where we're going to go until you know something about T-theory. So my suggestion is that you take there's three steps that you need to get into T-theory. One of them is you should go to the links that are at the left, upper left, on the page. The first one is go to amshare.com, and what you'll just see is a description of the history of American Shareholders, something about the techniques, but that's basically for clients who don't want to know a lot about the theory, but they want to get sort of the essence of the idea. That's a good place to go through it, and if you read all of that stuff, you'll get to the point where you kind of get the idea of where we're coming from. An important point of that is the benchmarking process, which is the way we do what other people do is they have recommended stocks or sectors or something like that. We do benchmarking, which is a way of tracking different entities. And we come up with some rather unusual stuff, the most unusual one being the best bond strategy, which is a mixed use of junk bonds versus high quality, basically long-term treasury bonds. And if you look at the 10 years between 2000 and as of September of 2009, and you look at the annual rate of returns, averaged over that's the 10-year period, because we do count the 2000 year. You see that the S&P 500 with the dividends, which is called the total return, has a zero rate of return, which isn't very good. And if you look at the treasury bonds, you see it's a little over 7%. And if you look at the junk bonds, it's about 7.5% per year over that same time period. But the amazing thing is that the two opposite types bonds of pure junk and, you know, pure quality, only one of those two is best for any year. In other words, they're mutually exclusive as far as who's going to be better. So in some years the junk bonds are better, and some years the quality bonds are, basically the quality bonds are better when the T theory is negative for the year and for the S&P 500, and the junk bonds are better when the year is positive from the standpoint of T theory. What's interesting is you use the best bond strategy, which means if you can figure out which, if you categorize a year as either being good or bad in terms of the S&P, and you pick the appropriate fund, the average performance over the last 10 years is 20% per annum, which is what you're looking for. Okay, so you can never have to leave the bond market to get 20% per year. You just have to figure out, and you can hold the same bond for the full year too. So, well, maybe those right results aren't guaranteed and you don't do it, but it's vastly superior to anything that anybody knows. And people are figuring it out now, because one of the problems we're going to have in this next decline is there's a lot of people who want to get out of the stock market. And I think there's a bigger problem coming. And I think that one of the things that they're doing is they're just basically going to the bond market because, you know, they view Wall Street as corrupt anyway. And they see the bonds as the better, it's got the better history, and it's saner, and you can sleep at night. That's one of the reasons why I think you got problems coming from this top. I had the question of what should you do if you had something, that you own something for a while, and my suggestion was you sell part of it. A simple strategy is to sell half of it when we go through this top date. I would now amend that in the next section when I start talking about projections. I would say that you could probably sell the other half now, because if you look at the performance of American shareholders, we just keep gaining relative to the S&P 500, and those gains are almost purely from the fact that of what you're doing is you just let everything go and sell out when you get to a point which T-theory says is a major top. Major is all relative, but that's how you make your money, and let somebody else take the dive on it. And this is one of those tops that's beginning to look like it has the best strategy is to go away from it and wait until the correction runs its course, which will be into November or into December, into at least mid-November, maybe late November, but probably somewhat into December, because there's this tax loss selling comes at the end of the year, and people are going to be trying to do a lot of things. You know, relative to strategies that have to do with the seasonal influence. So anyway, that taking that as the first step of it, I'll summarize it so you don't have to go through a lot of the details. But that's basically the first step, and what the net result is going to be. The second step is to go to T Theory Foundation, where you find out that I have put down a topics in T Theory with audio files. The audio files were my first cut at coming up with something to match the charts in a presentation that's by topic. I also have requests for people who have some impairment as to whether they can get in the case we have impairment on audio. We also have audio file problems. I am reducing all of those for two reasons. Partly for that reason, I'm building up the text that's going to replace the audio file. I found that in the advanced decline tees, that there's ways you can forecast when the market's going to crash by just noting that all tees are echoes, and you have to make these advanced decline tees. And if you get the advanced decline tee situation into a box where it won't form, the market will crash. And it turns out to be, it's not so much interesting now, but it's interesting later on. And I can include those topics when I do the text files. Between now and the end of the year, I will replace the audio files with the text files. And then once I've replaced once my text is completely finalized, I will then read the text into an audio file and put it there, because there'll be people who just want to listen to the audio file and don't want to run and read. People don't read anyway anymore. So that will complete that. The important element of going through the T-Theory Foundation stuff is you get to see all the concepts discussed in separately. The problem with the real, when you come back to ttheory.com here, which are the site we're talking about right now, the problem is that what's happening is that there's a whole bunch of stuff going on at one time. So you have this problem trying to solve a couple of different T-theory concepts all at one time, and you kind of have to jump around in there, and that's where you get confused. So it's best to know what they are independently when you're just talking about some historical trend and how that kind of a T works, or the 40-year cycle is one of the most important ones in there, you know, because this is all taken in. All we're doing in here is that this is some kind of a rally that it could be kind of a temporary rally based on the very long-term picture, and you have to know what the long-term picture is. Then when you have to come back to, when you get back to T-theory, you have to start out at the beginning where you're going to see the first ideas of the best bond strategy, which we talked about, and then you have to understand the advanced decline T, which is the long-term advanced decline T, which is basically a double bottom between the November low and the March low. It calls for a projection of August 26, 2010 eventual peak. And the important thing to understand is that the second bull market T, which is a W pot, is the same construction, and T's are invariant to size because they're symmetries, which means the projection of the mid-October peak here and the projection of the August 2010 peak are based on the same concept, and they will both come out correct. We had the questions of when we were talking about the mid-October peak after we went through the mystery peak. What's the chances that the mid-October is a low? Then there was the general question of why would you be going up in September, which is the worst day of the month, and then the question is why would you, having made that peak, why would you come up into mid-October? That's because there runs around, everybody that gets to T-theory knows about the turning point concept, which Don wrote to me about, and they are very, it's astrologically based, it gives dates which could be highs or lows, and you have to figure that out on your own, and they're always worried that my stuff is going to turn around and I'm going to say it's a top but it's a bottom. Don't make those kind of mistakes with the ABC construction. It's complicated, but you get rid of the problem. And you get rid of the problem for the August of 2010 at the same time. So if you know something about those things, you have to understand that the long range T with the ABCD construction is very, very important. The other question we get is where are we going to go from now? Unfortunately, the problem is that as you advance into T theory, it's basically an echo. Momentum peaks or advanced decline peaks produce and I discussed this in the last issue. Produce a disturbance which is propagated, and it bounces off important market lows, and the return echo is at the right end of the T, and you get if you have double bottoms, you have double echoes that combine in odd ways, and so you get complicated forecasts for the top patterns and so forth. Right now, we know that there's, if you look at the chart, that if you go with the echo business, the one echo, which is still running, is the big capital A at the early March time period. Well, we never got to get rid of that echo. It's been broadcast, and it's still going out. Then there's another echo source at the lowercase a, which was at the early August time period. That's the peak there. And both those echoes are headed down to the what is going to become a bottom in the November-December time period before we turn up and resume the bull market. But there's no forecast because it hasn't. You see, the echo hasn't found a place to bounce off of yet because it hasn't made a bottom yet. So it's still traveling through time, and it's going to hit those bottoms when they form. Unfortunately, in T-theory, you can't forecast the center post location of a new T. That's the part that's the random process. Market has a random nature to it, and it's where the low is. Once the low is put in place, then it ceases to become random again, and the echoes form, and then you just carry those out into history. Well, because you have a capital A and a lowercase a, when you hit a bottom, it's probably going to be a messy bottom, I think, and you're going to have a B and C bottom. meaning there's going to be twin lows. And if you get, and so, but you're going to be able to draw two T's. You're going to draw a big T, which really spans a long time from the capital A top, and then you're going to draw a smaller spanning T from the lowercase a top, and so you're going to have two sets of tops that are going to come out, and you're going to have two sets of bottoms. So it really gets complicated because if you get two echoes forming off of two bottoms, you end up with four tops. See, so it gradually gets them all. And based on what I've seen, they'll get them all. Okay, but it's just kind of confusing. So, you know, T-theory is getting to the point where it gets very complicated very fast. But if you keep your wits about yourself, you can figure out where it all came around. Okay, so I think that's probably all I want to say is just to looking at the general big picture here. And then we want to get on to projections. And there I will introduce another concept which I became aware of, which says that this decline could go below the green line. I should mention that the normal projection, well, I'll do that when I get there, but the normal projection that you have is you go from you go down to the green line, which is the other side of the envelope. After you make two T's up, you go down to the green line. You see the green line is a little bit above 930, but there's a better way to calculate that, and I'll discuss that in the next section, and that should be sufficient. So we'll close out section A, and then we'll get on to the projections and other things that related to the intensity of the downside. Thank you. Bye-bye.